All right. This is an idea I've been having for a little while. Like, I've come back to it a couple of different times now, but this is the more important one. I've just it's a movie that the entire premise is it runs entirely on awesome. That's it. It just runs on the concept of awesome stuff.
I thought you were gonna say runs entirely in reverse. That'd be kind of awesome, but more of a dancing bear.
Yeah, that's not very, that's not very, no. No. This runs entirely on the idea of awesome. Here's how it begins. It begins with the voiceover of a guy who sounds like he's seen a lot of movies. And what he's describing is he's describing the rivalry between this big fucking dragon, it's like 15-foot tall dragon, and this knight dude, you know, from way back when. You know, he's the best knight in his area. He protects his village from dragons. He's killed every dragon in the area except for this one. This one always manages to elude him. This one always manages to beat him in battle. This one is his nemesis. This one is his rival. And the last time that he was defeated before the dragon, you know, when the dragon decided that he was gonna have fun with it because he knew that this guy couldn't beat him, the dragon said to him, was like, "I could kill you right now. In the easiest of ways. But I'm not going to. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go out there and I'm going to destroy the village that you come from. I will kill your friends and I will kill your family. And then I will kill you." And this angers the man. And he is left there in a pool of his own blood. And the dragon goes off. And within some time, the man is healed. He's recovered and he's wanting to attack again. The dragon demolishes the city. It's the little village that they were in, demolishes his little town. Everything's gone. Gone, gone, gone. He was unable to protect that which he had wanted to. But now he knows he has nothing left. There's nothing left to lose. He's got no one that he still needs to protect. He can now technically die for the cause of finally bringing down this dragon. And the two meet on a hill. And they both stand there. And the dragon is like, "I have killed your family, I have killed your friends, I have destroyed the town you have come from. There is no evidence left that it has even existed, except for you. And now I do believe that I shall finish my job, and I will kill you." And the man looks up at him with the deadest look in his eye, just the deadest serious look in his eyes as he can, in his nice suit of armor, his sword, everything that has stood beside him in his fights. And he looks up at the dragon, and he just looks at me and says, "Not before I kill you." Something along those lines. And they have a
I
nice.
preferred he looked up, and he said, "I like chocolate milk."
That just died on the spot. No. He looks up at him and he's like, "Not before I kill you." And then they have this big heated battle. The dragon wastes basically all the breath, the fire that he can, just trying to roast this guy in his suit of armor. Technically, he succeeds. Like the guy is like he's like heated up the armor to the point where like the way it was made, like the old iron that they had or whatever, so you know it wasn't the greatest of quality. It like his suit of armor just melts around him, like even his weapons do. It's just like he just like the dragon just cranks up the fucking heat for this battle and just fucking roasts everything. The guy is like burnt to nothing, but he still stands. He still stands there and he can fight him. He can still fight and he's like the dragon's like, "I've That should have killed you. That should have cooked you alive. Why are you still standing?" And he's like, "Because I haven't killed you yet. I have to kill you before I die." And the dragon is like, "That's fair." And as such, for whatever reason, he decides to go with it. He's like, "I think we should fight this in a fair fight." And the dragon comes down right in front of him. And I wish you could see this, but he just like literally 10 feet between the two, like in height. And the guy's literally standing in a puddle of his melted armor and weapons and stuff. And the dragon just puts up his fists. He's like, "A fair fight?" And the man puts up his fists. He's like, It'll do. And they literally go at it fisticuffs. 15-foot-tall dragon, 5-and-something-foot-tall dude, by just punching the fuck out of each other. And it gets down to the point, they both wear themselves out. Like, these guys are, like, fighting, like, even now for some reason. Like, the dragon isn't understanding. It's like, why is this guy standing? Why is he still going? His body is charred. His muscles shouldn't work. Why is he still able to stand? Why is he still able to fight? And then the dragon gets down to it. The dragon is like, the guy is like getting in some good shots somehow. Like, the dragon kind of has to bend down. So he's like, he's getting the crap kicked out of him now, sort of. He's on the ropes and whatnot. It's like, and then finally the dragon winds up for one last punch, and the guy, like, this big heated battle. It gets down to the point where it's like, it literally, like, big fucking fight. It gets down to the point where it's like one last punch from both of them. That's all they both got. And so they both try to put everything they can into the punch. And as they go in, the guy, he looks back and he sees the molten metal puddle of his stuff just slowly solidifying. And as he brings his hand back, he dips it into where his sword and whatnot, where all that was, and he dips his hand into the liquid metal and it hardens around his hand. And he brings it up, and as he's bringing it up, the dragon sees this. He's like, I'm not sure why, but I get the feeling this is likely going to hurt. And their fists connect. And suddenly there's a blinding flash of light. And they're gone. There's nothing left of them. In fact, there was never anything of them that ever existed. The village is back. You see his wife, who had, fathered his child, who had mothered his child. She wakes up and she turns over with a big smile on her face as if to see her husband. And then when she doesn't see anybody, she gets this confused look on her face. She asks herself, why am I so disappointed to not see anyone there? And then the camera zooms out and you see the village is completely okay. And then somehow it also shows you that, like, where that dragon was born, when he was born, now, there was an egg, but it was just a shell. There was nothing inside the egg at all. The existence of both of them and any proof thereof has been completely erased from history.
God damn, that's a mighty punch.
The awesomeness of their existence and of their fight against each other and of this moment of a dragon in a fist fight with a man and knowing that both of them would die on the connection of that punch. A moment so awesome and so awe-inspiring that it basically ripped them from history and condensed them into a moment. Well, what is known to us is a moment. Yeah. To others, it is known by something else. But what it is simply this. There's a fusion of five things. Of scale and claw of dragon, flesh and bone of man, and the strength of tempered steel have come together to create the most awe-inspiring moment ever witnessed. It was ripped from history and turned into a small, almost like an opal. Not really small, it's about the size of my palm. Kind of egg-shaped looking thing. And when you look into it, you ever see those, like, rubber balls that have, like, the rubber things that when you squeeze them, it's got all that oil inside of it that looks all sparkly and stuff like that, and it's all swooshy? Yeah. It looks like that inside this thing. And it just falls to the ground on top of this hill. Fast forward many years, and you see a man, clearly a monk, classic monk. Many things have changed in the area. And he is walking along, and he finds himself wondering about one very important thing. See, he is a man of religion. He is a man of the cloth, as they would say. But he has never felt the existence of his God. He has never seen his God do anything. No miracles, no anything. No matter who asks, no matter how sick they are, no miracles. And so he begins to doubt the existence of his God. And as he walks, he finds this hill. He gets the feeling something happened here. There's no evidence thereof. There's no village in the area anymore, because it's well past this time. He walks up the hill, As he does, the closer he gets to the top of the hill, he starts to feel something, and he starts to wonder that maybe this could be the answer to the problems that he's been having, this lack of faith that he's finding himself in that worries him so greatly. As a man of the cloth, doubting one's God is immense. And eventually, just purely by following this emanating feeling, he finds this small stone, this odd-looking thing, and when he picks it up, he can feel it. Not just in itself, but he can feel that it has a power, a great, just beyond all else, just a thing to it that he can just feel, and he's like, this must be it. This is what I'm looking for. This is the essence of my God. The God that I have been doubting for so long. I can feel that there is a godly power in this stone. Yes. I, as a man of the cloth, no longer doubt my God. Because now I hold it in my hands. And so he holds it up and names it. As of yet, this is the name for it right now, is at this point. It is known as the Godstone. Because that is his god, and it is a stone. And so he takes it back to his church. Now, there are many people, of course, because we are hinting at quite heavily what religion this is. Some of them doubt him. Sorry, what?
Shintoism?
Close enough. Many people doubt this rock. They have felt it, and they're like, but it is merely a magnet of some kind. You know, it has that magnetic power. Truly, it is a powerful rock, but it is not as powerful as our God. He's like, no, but it is a gift from our God. We must worship it. No, one must not worship anything but our God. And there's an odd little thing there where it's like people start thinking it's like, you know, this is a separate God, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, so they end up building a temple on the side of a mountain, blah, 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 you know, all this different shit. You know, they end up worshiping the stone. The stone is lost to time. Because they hid it. Eventually, they knew when they started, you know, doing stuff with a stone. They eventually figured out what the stone could do in one manner or another. And they realized that this stone had immense power. They had to hide it somewhere where no one would ever find it. And to guarantee that this stone would not fall into the wrong hands. And the next thing that you see is just a pair of hands grab a railing. Because it's, you know, symbolic and whatnot. And it's appropriate. And then the camera pans up and you basically get the guy who played, Shang Tsung. Basically the guy who played Shang Tsung in the first, whatever movie. You essentially get that guy. That's what I'm picturing, anyway. You get that guy, and he's talking down to his five cohorts. He's like, brothers and sister, I have found the Godstone. I know where it is located. We must merely find it, and then we can have all the power we would ever seek. And they're all like, yeah, whatever, stuff. And things follow them, blah, 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 blah. They go there. There's, you know, you got your regular James Bond / Indiana Jones guy there to stop them. Blah, 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 blah. Big fight. Something happens to the stone. It is hit by something, and it is, like, pierced on both ends. Because it's, like, somehow the stone stands on a pointed pedestal. And, like, another pedestal above it is, like, rigged so that if something happens, it will, like, come down and crush the stone. When the stone is crushed, it breaks into many pieces, and many pieces come flying off of it. Four of the mooks, you know, there's the bad guy, and he's got his five little mooks. One of them's a chick. Each of the guys gets hit by a shard of the stone. They're like, and then the boss doesn't get hit by it. Blah, 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 blah. We end up finding out, like, through this fight that the chick has been seeing the good guy for quite some time because he had to fight her at some point because she was, like, entrusted to kill him. And something happened to her. She was injured. Except he didn't know she was a spy, and he ended up, like, nursing her back to health purely out of the good of his own heart, and she had never seen anything like this before, blah, 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 blah. They end up falling in love. They've been seeing each other for quite some time. And this stuff happens when the crystal thing is destroyed. It sets off a self-destruct sequence for the temple. The entire thing falls apart, and the only people who get out alive are the good guy and this chick. And they're like, well, stuff. In the passing months, something bad happens. While the guy is on a mission, he is killed in the line of duty. And not too long thereafter, it becomes fairly obvious that the woman is pregnant, and she has a child.
I thought you said a vagina. It's like, well, yeah, I'd imagine she would.
But yes. She has a child, and, well, okay, sorry, I forgot the bit, like, as they're coming out of the temple, they're like, oh, God, you know, she's like, well, I guess I won't ever have to work for him again, and he's like, well, that's good, too bad about that jewel thing, though, and then she's like, oh, you'd be surprised, and she pulls out, like, a good chunk of the gem thing, and the crazy thing is even with it broken, like, the stuff on the inside, no matter where you break it or how you break it, the stuff is still on the inside. It doesn't leak out. It's like, you can clearly see that there is, it's almost like glass around this stuff, but no matter how you break it, it just creates more glass to hold the stuff in, sort of thing.
Oh.
It's just kind of how it looks, but it's like, she just holds it up and she's like, wow, I kind of thought that stuff would have spilled out. And he's just like, I guess not. So she keeps it. She was going to put it somewhere safe. She was going to put it in a museum of some sort. But, and then he died, and, you know, she's only known as a criminal, so she kind of has to hide from the law. And then she has a kid. You fast forward many years later, the kid, it's his 18th birthday, and he's got two friends now. Two very, very good friends. One of them is a bit of a slacker guy, he's, you know, watching movies all the time, always. Always watching movies, he knows everything, he knows he's the genre-savvy one. And his other friend is a girl who, when you see them introduced, she's offering to play tag with them. Or, sorry, offering to go play hide and seek. And they're just
okay,
like,
can I get that?
Right.
Grandpa's going to bed.
Yeah. They're all, she's offering to play, like, you know, hide and go seek with them. And whatnot. She's like, I want to be it first. And they're like, that's not fair. You always win. She's like, no, I won't listen. I won't listen, man. I won't listen for anything. And they're just like, no, that's not cool. It's like, you know, you've been training so much to hear heartbeats and such that it's just, you can find anyone anywhere. It doesn't matter. You know, because she's, like, paranoid, I guess. She doesn't like anyone sneaking up on her. She always trained herself to hear heartbeats. She wanted to become a paramedic. So she wanted to be able to hear heartbeats so she didn't have to waste time checking for a pulse. And so she's just using it as, like, as a way to, you know, to do this sort of thing. So she's very attuned to the fact that if she listens hard enough, she can hear people's heartbeat. And they're just like, no, we don't want to play tag. We just want to get to the store so we can buy this birthday cake. Because it's the one guy's birthday. He's your regular shut-in type of guy. He doesn't like, you know, talking with people. He's always figured himself to be a bit of an outcast. You know, he's very quiet. You know, the basic, you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And he always carries around with him a locket that his mother gave him. And, well, you know, like a necklace thing or whatever. It's a very pretty one. Kind of look broken, but, well, you know where that's going. But anyways, so his mom was, she was always able to make ends meet, but she wasn't, you know, the most, she had a history to her sort of thing, and there's a lot of things that she had to run away from. But anyways, she had always, with tears in her eyes, had always said how much of an awful person her husband, or her, well, technically husband, you know, boyfriend or whatever, you know, his father, how much of an asshole he was for leaving during childbirth because, well, what kid's going to believe that he was a secret agent? You know, say that he ran off. She hated doing it, but it was the only way that she could think, you know, that was plausible or whatever. But anyways, she goes, or sorry, he's out buying the birthday cake for his 18th birthday, and he's out there with his buddies, and they're like, all right. You know, they come in inside with him and whatnot, and he's just like, he opens the door and he's like, hey, Mom, I got the cake. And immediately, you get that fisheye lens thing where it just zooms in on him. He's just like, And then you just, all you see is the cake fall out of his hands and it hits the floor. And then the camera pans up and you see one part of the house is completely missing. Just gone. Just torn away. You can see, like, debris. There's another part of it that is just completely torched. And there's another one that's, like, there's just ice everywhere for no reason at all.
That's
and,
cool.
And then there's another one where it's just, like, random scorch marks and, like, all the electrical appliances. Like, the kitchen. Like, every appliance in the kitchen is just completely fucking fried. And, like, near the middle of it all, like, near a staircase, is his mother. Like, her bottom half charred to shit. She's just, like, she's clearly dying. And he just runs over to her and just, like, gets down beside her. And she's like, I had to see you again. Just one last time before I go. He's like, no, you can't. You can't go. You can't. And she was like, I've lied to you, son. About things, and she spills the whole story about what had happened and whatnot, blah, 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 blah. She spills the whole story about his father being a secret agent. She's like, I know you probably don't believe me, but it doesn't matter. When he died, I had loved him so, and I had found myself so distraught because I thought I had lost him forever. But then I watched you grow up, and I learned that I had not lost all of him. Most, yes, but not all. You grew up to be just like him, as I knew him. You were the piece of him that I got to keep.
Uh-huh.
She starts to doze off, and he's like, Mom, you can't go. You've always been there for me. There's no way I can live without you. The last words out of her mouth are, how do you know if you don't try? And the tear falls off his cheek, as she falls as well. Dead. It's just, you know, big touching moment, blah, 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 blah. So they need a new house, among other things. You know, the cops investigate, there's no way, like, she clearly died of, like, burns and internal wounds and blah, 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 blah. Shit sucks. They're all, like, very distraught, and he still has to go to work. He works as a shorthand cook or what have you. Would it be a shorthand cook or was it something else? Fuck. Well, I know his buddy works as a shorthand cook. They both kind of do, but they work at different places sort of thing. And he had needed an egg beater, so he got it from his buddy. Like, he's like, can I borrow an egg beater from your work or whatever? The guy's like, no, man. Or no, shit, he wanted to make something. But anyways, he's like, I need an egg beater, but I don't have one because, you know, it kind of got destroyed at the house. He's like, can I borrow one from your work? It's like, dude, my work has, like, two egg beaters. One of them sucks. If I give you the other one, because there's no way I'd give you the one that sucks, they're going to notice, and I'm going to get yelled at. My boss is going to hate me for that. The guy's like, dude, I just need it, okay? He's like, fine. So he takes the egg beater, he goes to work, gets him the egg beater, whatever.